You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Hey everyone, welcome to another epic episode of Ask Drone You. My name is Paul and I'm very excited to be with you guys today talking about public safety and how to help out firefighters and police officers with your flying skills.
Absolutely, and my name is Paul, happy to be here as well. Very, very grateful that you're spending your time with us and hope you're having a great day. Hope you're having a great start to 2018.
Yes, do hope you're having a great day and a great start to 2018. There's a lot that is going on this year, but I ask you, what are you going to focus on? What are you going to make a priority, stick to? And more importantly, not only what will you focus on, but what do you love to do? Because that'll make everything just so much easier to do. And for some people, indeed, that is helping out the men and women in blue or bright orange or yellow.
Or some very distinctive
reflective
color.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Like our question asker today, who it looks like he has been creating relationships with local public safety officers, which I think is awesome. But it also does bring up a question, because a lot of people have been saying that, you know, more and more companies are going to be doing things in-house as far as, you know, enterprises, corporations, and maybe that means public safety as well. I mean, Josh Ziering wrote in SUAS News that he believes that, like all millennials, they'll be moving back into the basement. And that is a metaphor for job operators or freelancers moving in-house to augment existing businesses. Hmm. And I think that this question is a perfect example of how not everyone is there yet.
Right.
And how, a lot of companies and corporations are still kind of trying out the whole drone thing, because it takes a lot of expertise to do drone jobs. Mm-hmm. It's not just like learn how to use a camera, fire it off, and you're good to go.
You know,
you've got to learn how to fly. You've got to learn the regulations. You've got to learn regulations that are specific to certain industries. Like, you know, if we're talking thermography, you've got to learn about thermography certifications, mm-hmm, and understanding what's important. You know, when it comes to public safety, there's a plethora of other regulations that have to be followed.
Indeed.
Standards, requirements, you know, so it's not just hey, let's grab this camera and fire it off and everything will be okay. It's, you got to learn battery management so you don't burn the building down. You've got to learn how to fly well. Otherwise, mm-hmm, you're going to hit someone and provide a huge liability onto the company itself. You know, you open yourself up to a massive amount of liability. So I think a lot of companies are still looking at using freelancers who do have the experience to fly, who do have the knowledge based off of experience, or quote unquote, the wisdom,
yeah,
as Einstein would say, to, you know, do these jobs.
Yeah. Not to mention the real cost of bringing a person or persons on to a staff, in terms of, particularly in the government sector, or the true public safety sector, fire departments, police departments, et cetera. It's very expensive, not just for the salary, but you've got all the overhead, the benefits, the retirement, that all, I mean, that ultimately, in many cases, this is extreme, but I've seen it in places like California. I mean, that can double the salary, mm-hmm, by the time you add all that stuff in. So it's actually very, very expensive for these organizations, these governmental entities, to bring people on for this stuff.
Yeah, I'm recently listening to a podcast that were talking about hiring the right person. I think it was on the Harvard Business Review. And they were saying that, you know, some people who are getting these small raises, that for these smaller companies, a raise of $1.50, even though they're getting paid, say, $12 an hour, means the company is now paying 20 bucks an hour, mm-hmm, because of the costs going into benefits packages,
exactly,
because of the costs going into these other things. And, you know, I don't want to get in a debate here about benefits and who deserves what, but I think that there is a need for better financial education in our school systems, because I think a better financial education would put a lot of people, myself included, in a better financial position without having to rely on benefits. Because I was having a discussion, mm-hmm, actually with someone at CES this last week, which was quite interesting. I'd say it's the most unique CES I've ever been to in my 4 or 5 year run of going to CES. But that's for another day. Anyway, he was talking about how he doesn't think that our generation is ever going to, and I mean mine, not yours, is ever going to see the benefits of Social Security.
I agree. I wonder if mine will.
And you, his point, though, was interesting because he said, well, the reason I don't believe that we'll ever see Social Security is because in the very beginning when people got Social Security, it wasn't something that they paid into. Now people pay into it. But in the very beginning, Social Security was not something that you paid into. If you were 60 and they passed Social Security 5 years later, you got Social Security.
Right.
So I found that to be very, very interesting. But again, I don't want to get into the nitty gritty of who deserves benefits and who doesn't, because in all honesty, I think everyone deserves benefits. But when it comes to retirement, I think that most people would find, as you know, I think my dad has found, that retirement can be as negative to your health as eating sodas and french fries every single day, because your mind gets bored. Yeah. And you become bored, you become lazy, you find that certain things are not as enjoyable. I mean, like I look at what my dad's doing right now, very, very intelligent guy, and he tells me all the time how bored he is.
Well, my wife and I literally were just talking about this last week. Like, what are we going to do as we get up into age? And no comments about getting up into age, Paul.
You're not that old, so it's cool.
But we were both just saying we cannot imagine ever retiring. So there's pros and cons to that. I think mostly pros, but it might end up being a necessity that there's no retirement when you speak about benefits. And for example, our insurance went up 40% this year, 40 stinking percent. So
holy cow,
that affects governments, right? That are providing health benefits.
40%.
Yeah. It was like 38.7. So I rounded up, forgive me, but 40%, I'm going with 40%
for health insurance.
Yeah. To keep our exact same policy with the same coverages, it went up 40%. And I ain't lying. I mean, I give you the numbers.
Did you start smoking cigarettes yesterday or something?
No. I promise I didn't. But you know what's fascinating about that? It wouldn't matter that I would get the same rates as somebody who does smoke. So we're really getting on a tangent if we go into that too much.
Wow.
But the point is, coming kind of back to the main idea of, are these organizations going to be hiring people on staff to do these kinds of drone jobs and drone work, or are they going to continue to hire the freelancers and the small businesses to come in? I don't think it's as cut and dry as a lot of people think, that they're going to actually start bringing people on staff to do this stuff, because it's very expensive to have employees and it's getting more and more expensive. And when you talk about
So don't you think that would then lead into a market full of freelancers?
I do.
I mean,
yeah,
I think we're
exactly.
Already, I mean, Entrepreneur, the mm-hmm. magazine was already saying that most kids my age are freelancers. Voila, look at me, you know?
Right.
So it makes sense, because not only is it benefit tax-wise, but it's also a benefit to the employer.
Yeah, I actually just read an article that, and this was, I think it was IRS data that said, there, and I don't remember how many, the number of them, but there were more people that had earned $1 million in a year than ever before, by far. And I think it's because of that culture, right? It's because of the entrepreneur. It's the people that are out there making it happen on their own, not necessarily relying on some company where you're making that company rich, right? That's kind of been the thing for all these decades and generations. It was one of my big deals when I worked at a CPA firm. I'm making these freaking partners rich. I don't want to do that anymore. And so, I mean, it started well before the current millennial generation. And I think the millennials are just kind of taking that to another level in many respects. And so, yes, I do think that's going to continue, if out of necessity, then no other reason. But I think it's a good thing. I really do.
Yeah, I do too. So let's get, before we go any further into this rabbit hole, let's go ahead and take a
it's
quick,
fun to talk about.
A quick second. Our friends at Energen actually released two new units that I'm really excited about, and they're not available just yet. They were announced at CES. And, you know, we've got our normal whole advertising for the A40 and P40 batteries, which, you know, I use. I love them. The discount code, by the way, is DroneUA40. But they came out with a new battery, the A80, which is made for Inspire or 6S batteries. So I'm actually really excited about that. That should be out very soon. I don't know when. I don't want to say when, because anytime I'm like, oh, it'll be out in like 4 weeks, and it's not out 4 weeks and one day, people are like, hey, you said.
That's right. Like,
how many times did you promise your kids something and didn't deliver?
Yeah, but there's nobody to hold them accountable for that.
That is true. Except for their kids, who probably
true.
Yeah.
Have no
Daddy,
power.
Daddy, you did not give me that chocolate that one time.
Shut up, kid.
They also came out with the Drone Max 360, which I think will tickle a lot of Skittles out there. And I think it'll be something that a lot of people will enjoy. I'm not going to give away the farm on that yet. We're going to have some review units coming in here so we can talk about those things firsthand and let you know how they work. But in the meantime, if you haven't picked up a portable battery charger, I would highly recommend it. Just go to myenergen.com/shop and then use discount code DRONEUA40 for the A40 battery, DRONEUP40 for the P40 battery. Or if you're flying a lot of Mavic batteries around, which I think there may be a new Mavic coming out towards the end of this month, which is just a little birdie. I heard bird is the word. Just use a discount code DRONEUM10. But let's go ahead. Let's hear the question, Rob.
Hey guys, I have a quick question for you. I just received the opportunity to become the Fort Myers, Florida Fire Department on-call drone pilot for emergencies. And I really don't know how to price something like this out. It's a really good opportunity, and I want to get some things squared away here. And also, what are some of the pitfalls that may arise in a position like that? What equipment would I need to have on hand? Say if I was doing search and rescue, or is there anything else that I may need to know that I'm just not thinking of? Any input that you guys could give me would be greatly appreciated. I look forward to hearing back from you. Thank you.
All right. So I think the only way to answer this question is from experience. Now, I have not ever personally worked as a freelancer for a fire department. I've helped out a few police departments, state police, local police, but I've never helped out a fire department. And I know one of our instructors, Mr. PJ Kirkpatrick, he is doing a deal very similar to this, and I believe what they did is that they set up a half-day rate. So anytime they get called out to something, it's an instantaneous half-day rate because it's, from what I understand, is that it's very difficult to measure the time spent out there, and oftentimes you're there for maybe 2 hours, 3 hours, 2 to 4 hours. It's never just a a quick little kind of one and done thing if they really call you out. So what I, if I remember correctly, what he said he does is a half day rate or a full day rate, depending on the amount of time that they spend out there. But I will say this, that their day rates are a little bit cheaper than what you would find for anything like cinematography wise, sure. Videography wise or production wise. And I don't want to say exactly, I want to say his half day rate was around $400 or $500. I can't really remember exactly what it was. Now, obviously, if you double that for the day rate, but it's something where they have a contractual agreement set up for a specific year, and they say if they get called out that they're available at any time, but if they get called out, they make X dollars, and that's predetermined, agreed to, that I believe the chief signed off and someone else in the legal department of the county signed off on as well. So I know people are doing that, and I think it's really helpful. Now, he did ask the question, what type of gear? This is really important because normally when you sign these contracts with public safety officers, you sign these contracts with police officers, there is this caveat that you've got to have a backup, just like when you're working with major studios. You've got to have a backup of that equipment. You've got to have a backup of something that is exactly what they need. So for example, if you have an Inspire 2 or M210 with an XT camera, you've got to have a backup to that camera that's instantaneously available in case it breaks for whatever reason.
On hand with you.
Right. So, I mean, you're talking about a lot of money that you would need in order to do that. Now, this may not be true for every freelancer that works with a fire department, but I know for most fire departments, especially in California, it is required that if you're doing work with any public safety officer, you're supposed to have a backup of said rig. It's either with you or available to you at all times. I forget the verbiage that is used in those contracts because I haven't actually seen them myself, but I think it is something to be cognizant of. Now, as far as which equipment, I think having a radiometric or radiometric thermal camera would obviously be very valuable. Having a thermal camera as a whole would be valuable. You could, have an Inspire 1 with a nice Z3 setup and a backpack like the one that John McBride sells from Rocky Mountain Unmanned Systems for a FLIR View Pro, and that could be good enough. Now, you're not going to have the capability of controlling the camera from the ground. You're not going to have that nice, crispy live feed that you would love to have, with when using Lightbridge, but it is something that's a bare bones basic system that can get you, as they say, off the ground.
Though I would think that live feed would be a pretty important element.
Agreed. And you do have a live feed with the backpack. It's just you would have to have a fly site monitor. You would have to have antennas and a way, you know, to mount that antenna on top of your regular, you know, remote system to have that work.
So you might want to have a screen in your car that you can set up at whatever ground station they've created, depending on what the circumstances are, I would think.
Yeah.
What about something like a Mavic or even a Spark? Can you live feed from either of those?
Not with thermal. I don't think that either of those would really be useful or helpful to public safety officers, unless...
Really?
Well, I think that there is one use that could be good. They make prop cages for the Spark and for the Mavic.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen the Mavic and the Spark used in public safety for going inside
exactly.
of places.
Yeah.
So I think that there is that capability and that use case. But in most scenarios, you know, that's not a very good low light camera. So if it's dark, it's not really going to help you out.
Okay.
Without thermal, it's not really going to help you out. But now LumeCube is coming out with Mavic mounts to mount a LumeCube. So you could have that as well. But again, you're going to severely decrease the flight time. So...
Yeah, and I don't know about the tactical nature of having something fly in to where you've got, say, a hostage situation that might do more harm than good. I don't know, because they're pretty loud, obviously. It's going to be detectable by whoever's in there.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, but yeah, I wonder if that would be something that you might want to have on hand just in case.
I mean, if we're going to talk about the best solution possible, I think you're looking at a Matrice 210 series with thermal and a zoom camera, and that's like the best of the best. Could you get away with using an i1 with that little Z3 zoom camera? Yes. With a FLIR View backpack? Yes. Could you use a Phantom 4 Pro for just giving them eyes in the sky? Yes, you could, but you could also take this to multiple levels, you know, deeper.
I mean, sure.
Creating models and maps of different areas so that there's a better understanding and knowledge of how to move around these different, you know, buildings and whatnot, I think would really help emergency management. And I think we're seeing an evolution of that on a federal level of seeing, you know, this type of emergency management planning occurring. So I think that there are opportunities on opportunities here, with the low level being just helping out fire departments and the higher level getting these big federal contracts to actually create interactive maps for emergency management.
Yeah, so you're going to have to go really deep with the people that you're going to be working with in terms of what their needs are.
Yes.
So, and in many respects, you're going to have to ask really good questions to draw from them what they even need.
Yeah, that's another very good point, Rob, because if you're not asking the right questions, you're not going to get the right answers, and you're going to learn things on the fly that could end up really, really hurting you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, and I just think of, you know, accident scene reconstruction. If you are not a phenomenal mapper and you don't have the highest understanding of modeling knowledge, you should not be doing it, because you're messing with people's lives and outcomes of very serious legal situations. And it's something that I would recommend a lot of people stay away from.
Yeah, definitely. It's potentially biting off more than you can chew. One story comes to mind, actually, that Keenan told us, where he was at a scene and he ended up needing to drop a phone into the bad guy, we'll call him, that was in the house, right? Did you see that video?
Yes.
And so it just makes me think of having some apparatus on hand where you can drop or pull from the scene using the drone.
Well, you know, that brings up a really interesting point, because one question that we got in that we're kind of, we probably will discuss soon is, you know, towing someone from a drone. And it's something that I actually went to local FISDO and said, hey, I want to do this. You know, what do you think? But, you know, dropping a phone, it is dropping an object from the drone, which they very specifically say you cannot drop anything from the drone that could cause hazards to people on the ground. So, you know, it's these vague interpretations of what, you know, obviously dropping a phone to have some sort of communication with the suspect, I'm sure that they did negate some risk to humans. So I think that there is this big question, and you know, the FAA has been good about talking about this, but there's a big question on hazards. And I will say that it seems that the FAA is putting a lot of thought into this. If you are a government agency, you do seem to have a little bit more leeway and freedom, mm-hmm. Which is a double-edged sword.
Sure.
Because what they essentially say, if I understand it correctly, is that as long as the risk is greater with people on the ground by not conducting this said task with a drone, they see it as okay. So essentially, it was like a crowd management and whatnot. You know, you're not supposed to be flying over people.
Right.
But if you're flying near people and you're able to mitigate the risk of lots of people by using a drone, then they see that as an acceptable use.
Sure.
You know, so I think it's one of these things that should really be addressed. But again, I would, you know, urge caution, because I've seen instances where state police agencies have been given access to fly in areas that are traditionally no-fly zones and TFRs for a lot of other pilots.
Mm-hmm.
And in all honesty, they are not good pilots themselves. They have had breaches of severe legal consequences in using drones, and yet they're still allowed to fly these things. So I'd like to see, you know, the same standards that are put on regular Part 107 pilots as standards that are put on governmental agencies, and not just sign off on agencies because, oh, well, they're state police, they know what they're doing. No, I think there needs to be standards of training and, you
sure.
know, practical tests and all these things to really ensure that they do know what they're doing.
Absolutely.
Because I think it would be not only bad if an accident happened, but it would also lose major credibility on both ends of the spectrum for drones.
Yeah, and they are a great resource, and we don't want to hurt their ability to be used in the future.
Agreed, and that's
sure.
what it comes down to.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one other thing that comes to mind for our caller is that one thing I would probably do is reach out to my insurer and make sure that the circumstances that you could be put in would be covered.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because I don't know that I wouldn't feel comfortable telling you that your existing sort of regular policy that I assume you have will cover this kind of situation or these kinds of situations. So I would definitely reach out to them and clarify that you're covered in all of these different circumstances.
Yeah, I think that's good. By the way, as I'm reading Twitter, United Healthcare is going to make $1.7 billion while you pay 40% more this year.
Excuse me while I go cuss.
And on that bombshell, that is going to do it for us today. My name is Paul.
And I'm Rob.
This is Ask Drone You.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.